Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You Are Special. You guys, this is the arena where people don't wait for permission. They step in and they figure it out because you were not created to sit back and just hope that things change. You've got God's DNA in you. You were built to lead, to learn, and to rise. And everything that you've been through, babe, that's not the problem. That's your message, okay? And today's guest is Russell Van Brocklin. He is helping families flip the script on dyslexia and actually give kids a way forward. So I'm super excited that he took time out of his busy schedule to come and sit in the hot seat with us tonight. So, Russell, welcome to the show. And everybody kind of gets the same hot seat question, which is your elevator pitch, who you are, what you do. And what makes you special, darling?
Well, my name's Russell Van Brocklin. I solve dyslexia. I'm a New York State Senate-funded dyslexia researcher. And my original program, we took a bunch of high school juniors and seniors that were highly motivated, highly intelligent. One class period a day for the school year brought their writing from the middle school level to the average range of entering graduate students. Cost New York State taxpayers less than $900. We were 3x as successful as the best dyslexic college at the time for less than 1% of the cost.
That's amazing. So let's pretend that my listeners don't know what it is to be dyslexic, which I mean, it's pretty hard to not know by now. But just in case, what does it actually mean to be dyslexic?
Well, this is the top book in my field called Overcoming Dyslexia by Dr. Sally Shaywitz from Yale. And this is dyslexia. Do you see how the back part of my brain has this massive, it has like no neural activity, and your back part of your brain has this massive neural activity?
Okay.
Now, do you see how the front part of my brain is about 2.5 times overactive?
Okay.
Okay. So essentially, what dyslexia is as we go through our educational system, it's designed for the back part of the brain where we got nothing going on. And that causes a lot of frustration. But the front part of our brain is 2.5 times overactive. So, what I've done is I'm moving from the back part of the brain where we got nothing going on to the front part of our brain,
Yeah.
which is 2.5 times overactive.
Wow. Okay. So what's actually happening in a dyslexic child's brain that parents are not understanding? When you say that, can you give us like that tangible real life? What is
Sure.
happening?
So why don't we actually just go to the biggest problem that I'm asked, which is elementary school parents are saying that their kids are writing a bunch of apparently randomly placed misspelled words.
Okay.
Nobody has any idea what to do, including the special ed teachers. So I'm going to show you how to fix that in about 10 minutes. Are you
Okay.
ready?
Yeah.
So do you know any dyslexic kids now or at any time in your life that were elementary school kids?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about a student that I use in these situations. Her name is Sarah. At the time, she was 10 years old in fifth grade, reading and writing at the second grade level, writing randomly placed misspelled words. The key thing you have to remember is her favorite activity in the world was swimming. She was on the swim team. She jumped in the pool every chance she could get. So if you were going to teach Sarah to do to fix this, where hardly any specialist knows what to do, what you would do is pull out a laptop computer with a real keyboard and you would type out hero plus sign, what are we talking about? And then you would ask Sarah to copy it. And I could hear your audience now, but the kids aren't allowed to copy. Professor James Collins, Strategies for Struggling Writers, Default Writing Strategy of Copying. So she copies it until it's correct. Then we're going to go ahead and swap out hero for Sarah's name. So we got Sarah plus sign, what are we talking about? Then we're going to go to a list of 10 things Sarah really, really likes, and then 10 things she really, really dislikes. And then the top of that list is swimming. So we're going to swap out what are we talking about for swimming. So we got Sarah plus sign, swimming. See how we got there? Now I'm going to try to fool you with two of the simplest questions ever. If you answer them correctly, this will work. If not, you're going to get very confused. Then you're going to have an epiphany in what dyslexia really is.
I'm
Do
already
you think?
confused. Let's just go for the epiphany.
Well, let's see. We'll try to answer exactly as I asked. They're really simple. So we got Sarah plus sign swimming. We need to replace the plus sign with a word. So here's my
Yeah.
question. Does Sarah like or dislike swimming?
she likes.
So go ahead and give me the three-word sentence.
Sarah likes swimming.
Yes, but that's not what I asked.
Ah, see.
Let's try it again. We got Sarah plus sign swimming.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Does Sarah like or dislike swimming?
Yeah, she likes it.
Yes, but that's not what I asked.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I get it. The
Do I
epiphany.
do, do
Yeah.
okay, what's the epiphany?
That I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Okay. Are you ready for me to give you that epiphany?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just go to the signs.
Okay. And
See
if
how
you
the
guys
back part.
are listening to this, it's going to be best if you go to YouTube because he's actually showing a picture. And most of my audience is audio, so
Okay.
I just want to kind of, if
So
you can just explain what you're pointing at, maybe.
do you see how the back part of your brain has this massive neuroactivity?
Yeah.
And the back part of the dyslexic is essentially nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened is when I asked, does Sarah like or dislike swimming, you did what almost every educated person does.
Yeah.
You automatically added the S to make it a proper sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah's got nothing going on back here. She doesn't know how to add the S. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you automatically added the S to make it correct. Sarah would say Sarah likes swimming. She has no idea how to add the S.
Okay.
All right. So what we're going to do is I'm showing the front part of the brain. See how it has this massive overactivity, 2.5 times greater than yours. So we're going to use that starting off with word analysis. So what I would do is I would say, Sarah, read what you wrote out loud. Sarah likes swimming. And I would say, Sarah, does that sound generally correct? And she's going to say, no. And I'm going to say, Sarah, fix it. Sarah likes swimming. Do you see how that's a simple form of word analysis?
Yeah.
So then what we do is we'll practice that with 10 likes and 10 dislikes until she's got it all correct, everything spelled correct. Then we have to go to articulation. So then we go, because Sarah likes swimming, because. Tell me a simple reason why a 10-year-old girl would like swimming. No, well, what would be a reason? Why would a 10-year-old girl like swimming?
Oh. I mean, it's fun to play in the water.
It's fun to play in water. Sarah likes swimming because it's fun to play in water.
Yeah.
Do you see how after the because, it's a simple form of articulation?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what we've done is we've taken things from the back part of the brain where nothing's working and brought it up to the front part of the brain where we have 2.5 times the neuroactivity. But now we have Sarah likes swimming because she likes play because it's fun to play in the water. Do you see how we have a whole mess of misspelled words?
Okay.
So now we got to fix that. But before we do that, we tell Sarah to read what she wrote out loud, forget about spelling. Does it sound generally correct? If not, keep going and fixing it until it does. Now, all those horrendous grammar mistakes are now
Yeah.
fixed. A lot of the medium ones are fixed and some of the small ones are fixed. So now the teachers just have to do work with some small ones and some medium grammar issues, and they can deal with that.
Yeah.
But then here's how we fix the spelling. We tell Sarah to put a period down, and each time she misspells any word, she has to retype the entire sentence. And she's going to have to do that between 3 and 13 times. And each time she's going to say, I'm not going to make that mistake. And she keeps making it. So
Okay.
she concentrates harder and harder. And that's where the magic happens in the front part of the brain until she gets it correct. Then we do that again for the other 9 likes and 10 dislikes for reason one. And then reason one and reason two for all 20. And then reason one and reason two and reason three for the 20 again. At the end of that, Sarah will be writing decent grammar, correct spelling, 3 reason sentences,
Yeah.
and her reading would have improved as well because if you can write it, you can read it. So, parents, if you apply that to your dyslexic kid, it does take some time, but when you're done, you've just seen a massive improvements and you learn this in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's amazing. So they could take something that their child loves and use that to help them learn all of this here. And my question is, like, I'm feeling frustrated, like just not even the comprehension. I can't imagine what is the toll that you're seeing happening on these kids going through this process, you know, learning differently in a fast-paced world, and you know, feeling, I'm sure they feel like they're left behind, or just even feeling really different, that it's not making sense, something that I've obviously taken for granted in my thinking brain. What does it do to these guys?
I can tell you exactly what it would happen. I want you to, for me, it's basketball. What sport do you absolutely stink at?
All of them?
Yeah, but give me one that you're just absolutely horrible at.
Sure, basketball.
Okay. What if we were to get you the best basketball coach with the best equipment in the world, and the person you're going up against was an excellent college player, but we're going to give her used Walmart equipment?
Yeah.
Is it going to matter in the
No.
least?
Not at all.
Okay, your financial life from now on is going to be based on how well you play basketball.
Yeah.
Do
That's
you see
true.
how,
Yeah.
yeah, that's basically what it is. So how do we fix this? What I just gave you was part three of the model. Part one is we have to w focus on the kid's speciality, their area of extreme interest and ability. This is especially important for ADHD kids. So ADD, ADHD, and dyslexia, it's all the same solution. Let me give you an example. I want everybody to know I have never seen this in a student before, Casey. I will never see this again. She was a one-off edge case. Casey was 10 years old, finishing up fifth grade. She turned 11 over the summertime, reading at the second grade level, and she was extremely interested in Theodore Roosevelt. So I assigned her this little book, The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt, all 900 pages. This is for 10th grade to first year college level, depending on who you ask. She insisted on doing reading first, so I gave her the simple process. She went up to her room 3 hours a night for 6 months, including most of the days during summer break. At the end of that, you could flip to this random page, point to that random word, and she would tell you the dictionary definition verbatim. She jumped 8 grade levels in 6 months, and I worked with her for 15 minutes a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, then her mom asked, "What happens?" We went to a book she hates. My most popular book, this is what I gave her, Walt Disney, The Triumph of the American Imagination, all 1,000 pages of it. This is for 17-year-olds. The second universal theme, I've never had a parent tell me what that is for the Disney magic at the theme parks. Casey found it in 3 months. Most of my students take 1 to 3 years. And once they do that, they can read.
Yeah.
And why am I spending so much time on this? I asked Casey when we went from a book you loved to one you hated. She said her motivation dropped about 50%. Most kids drop 75 to 90%. So if you're outside their speciality, which in K through high school is just about everything, you
Yeah.
can't get these kids to do anything. So during the intervention period, we have to focus on their speciality. Then what we have to ask them this next question. In your speciality, do you have ideas flying around your head at light speed, but with little to no organization? They're going to say yes. So what we have to do is to force the dyslexic brain to organize itself by using writing as a measurable output. Let me give you an example. If I were to ask you to go and do this, write a report on what effect did Martin Luther King's famous "I Have a Dream" speech have on the American civil rights movement of the 1960s? You just know generally what to do to get started, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For a dyslexic, it's like grabbing fog.
Okay.
There's nothing to grab onto. We have to start from a very specific point and slowly go out from there. What we have to ask, what personally compelled Martin Luther King to want to give his famous speech? Once we have that answer, that answer will give us a question, which will give us an answer, which will give us a question, which will give us an answer. This will force the dyslexic brain to organize itself by using writing as a measurable output. So then, for what the model is, we start off with a kid's speciality during the intervention period, go from the specific to the general, word analysis followed by articulation. And people ask, well, how successful is that?
Yeah.
I'm writing a book that's if you can write, you can read, and it's about Kimberly. I met her on December 27th of 2024. Kimberly's a homeschooling religious mom with some college. She properly taught Reed's four brothers and sisters to read extraordinarily well with traditional methods. But
Yeah.
Reed's dyslexic 10-year-old fifth grader, She did horrible with him, felt ashamed, scared, embarrassed. Reed, just before I spoke to her, a few weeks before the state of Ohio, she spent $700 to get her family tested. Reed was reading at the 11th percentile, writing at the fourth percentile. I worked with Kimberly for half an hour a week for the rest of the school year into June. She worked with Reed for 90 minutes a week, 3 half-hour sessions. Most parents do 10 to 15-minute sessions. At the end of the school year, he was retested and had an increase, which I'm not telling you because over the summer, Reed's friends came to him and said, Reed, we want you in public school to be with us socially. So in the beginning of August, about 8.5 months later, he was inside a public school getting tested. If he scored any near remotely what he did in December, he would have been placed in special ed away from his friends, unhappy kid. But he had an increase. His reading jumped from the 11th percentile to the 64th. His writing jumped from the fourth percentile to the 65th. His grammar jumped to the 97th percentile. I asked Kimberly, how's he doing in February? He's getting mainly A's and B's. He's in all Gen Ed classes. They had a tragic family event, so he hasn't been turning in his English homework, and he had a C plus. Once he turns it in, it'll be a B minus or a B or a B. Regardless, he's in classes, normal classes with his friends, doing just fine. Kimberly did in less than 9 months what it normally takes the best private schools 4 to 5 years to do. She accomplished every parent's dream. And she did it on her own.
With your help, with your
Well,
assistance.
yeah, with a half an hour a week, that's how
Right.
powerful this is.
That's amazing. I want to go back a little bit because you were talking about finding what their specialty is. And my question is, like, how do you do that? How do you figure out like what their magic is? And do they already have the self-awareness for like, this is what I
Oh, they
really am?
know exactly what it is.
That's
And
awesome.
parents don't have a clue generally. I would ask the kids, okay, I would ask those questions so they know that I know how their brain works, and then they'd tell me what their specialty is. One kid told me his specialty was he was an eighth grader, 13, listening to a video about paint, how to turn paint thinner into cherry soda. Other ones told me 1970s F-150s. A lot of boys will tell me World War II. Okay. A lot of girls will tell me they want to know about, Cindy Crawford or Madonna or, something. It's just all these different things. And I built up a library of over 600 books. And when they say, oh, like I had one boy, he said, I'm really interested in World War II and you don't know enough about it. I said, European or the Asian side of it. He said, European. I said, oh, the best one is Army at Dawn by Rich Atkinson. And you would love about how we had no pantyhose on the Eastern Seaboard. And he looked at me all confused. And I said, oh, that's the best book. And he's like, how do you know that? I said, well, I've taught it 17 times. Huh?
That's amazing. What do
So,
you
yeah. So I know like almost every time they tell me what they're interested in, I tell them what the best book is.
you yeah. And I'm sure having read and taught those books helps you to just be the encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to that. And my next question is like, how do these parents, help to work to rebuild that confidence in their kid or to help them manage the emotions while they're going through the frustrating moments? Like, what do you think a parent's job is in that?
First thing is we're moving to an online learning platform called School. We dropped the price to $147 a month, and our primary instructor is Angela, who's a certified elementary school teacher and a homeschooling mom. She brought her son August through this, so she's there every week to answer questions. So as they're going through that, the main thing that I tell them is focus on the kid's specialty. This will take a lot longer than you think. The repetition is extraordinary, but you're still going to be light years faster than the private dyslexic schools at 75,000 a year. Why? Because I'm using modern neuroscience and they're using things that haven't changed much since the 1950s. Okay. So just focus on what you're doing. If the kid's still really having issues, I would actually talk to the principal, not their teachers, the principal, about reducing or eliminating homework during this intervention period. All right, because until you get them to grade level, it's going to be immensely frustrating. Once they're at grade level, you can send them back in and they will, I don't want to go and like Reed said, I don't want to do all this writing and math. His parents and teachers just were crossed their arms and said, "You're doing this."
Doing
And
it.
like any well-raised kid, he probed, found it, he couldn't change it, he accepted it and he moved on, but he was fine. So what can I say is try to reduce the homework or eliminate it until you get through the program. Because otherwise it's just going to be another social promotion.
And I imagine traditional worksheets are kind of a nightmare in that space anyway. It's like, a pressure of.
Once you got them to grade level, they can handle it okay. But when they're still below grade level, any homework, anything in school is just going to be immensely frustrating. And remember what it took Kimberly. Took her 8.5 months. So this is not going to happen quickly. I can tell you that the best private schools take 4 to 5 years to do this. And that's full time with a student to teacher ratio of 5 to 1 or less.
What is something that the schools are doing right now that you think isn't working or maybe even making this worse?
Everything. I want you to think about the brain scan. The back part of my brain, this is where this works and where the school focuses on. And I got nothing going on back there. I'm the front part. So it's not that they're trying to be hard on the neurodiverse. We're just completely opposite. Let me tell you where this is an advantage. When I went to law school with a first grade reading level, all right, and first grade writing level, my second day of contracts, I was called on. I didn't respond as a student. I responded as the professor's equal. We argued back and forth for 15 minutes. Never happened in any, nobody ever even heard of anything like that. When I then had to get my program approved by the top professor in the State University of New York system in Western New York, people said it was going to take me years to get his approval. I got in less than 2 weeks. I was funded by the university for $15,000 within 6 months. And then within 2 years, I was funded by the New York State Senate. Okay, there is a huge advantage to being neurodiverse in graduate school. It's just hard to get there.
No, I believe that. And I'm a huge I homeschool because I just feel like no kids learn the same and you never get to highlight their magic when they're just kind of put in the same standardized. I feel like a lot of people have that neurospicy, a little bit of neurospicy, maybe not to the full extent of the kids that you're working with, but we're all so individual and unique, and I think it's hard, and the school can't, like they're failing kids by, having them do that same cookie cutter stuff, like teaching a fish to fly or a bird to swim, and so I'm a fan of that. Are most of the kids that you work with, they're just in your program with the school, or do you still have like you have a lot of kids in public school still?
They're mainly in public school, but as far as homeschooling, let me give you an example of a kid who's not dyslexic or ADD in the least. His name is Grayson. He's the son of another podcaster. After I tell you about him, tell me how old you think he is. Grayson wants to get his, he's in the 99th percentile of in math and science. No disabilities whatsoever. He wants to get his PhD and work for NASA to terraform Mars. Okay, I'm currently working with Grayson on three of the top journal articles in the area, and we're going to show him how to publish an article and submit it for peer review. And the article where we're going to submit it, we'll take things from junior researchers, which they think are PhD candidates. How old do you think Grayson is?
I'm gonna say like 11.
He's 10.
That's amazing.
Not dyslexic in the least. So we're going through the same process with him. He's just flying through it. Okay. So what we're going to do when he's about probably 14 is we're going to show him how to submit an article for publication. It will be rejected. Then we're going to connect him with a senior professor in that area. And Grayson's going to go and say, "Here's my article I want to get published. Here's why it was rejected. Can we work together to get this finished up?" and watch the professor's jaw drop, because he'll be about a decade ahead of when he's supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, that's
So I
amazing.
use a book called The Craft of Research. It's designed for PhD students at the University of Chicago. It sold them over 1 million copies in the last 31 years. It shows them context, get everybody on the same page. That's what Grace is working on now. A unique problem statement and a unique solution.
Yeah.
And if you know that, you can do AI and do really well with it. If you can't, 40% of college graduates are underemployed now, recent ones. And it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, I see that. Right now, for our listeners, what would you say to that parent who just feels exhausted and out of options? Where do they go? What do they need to do? What's the next right step for them?
Best thing that I would do is go to dyslexiaclasses.com, and we're having a book coming out that we can send them or show them where to get it. It's called If You Can Write, You Can Read. I co-wrote it with Evelyn White Bay, who was on the New York State Dyslexia Task Force. Just go to dyslexiaclasses.com. There's a button there that says download free guide. Click on it, answer a couple of questions, set up a 30-minute time to speak with me. Then we discuss things with your kids. I ask them a couple of questions. They're like, oh, yeah, that's me. And then we find out what their specialty is. And then what I recommend to parents is get the book, read it over, and then see if you want to join us for our courses. What we have done is my competition charges between 500 and 1,000 a month
Yeah.
to have personal interaction once a week. We've lowered that to 147 a month. And Angela, as I said, she's a certified elementary school teacher, and she's successfully, as a homeschooling mom, brought her son August through this. So she's there each week to answer questions. So she knows exactly what you're going through and how to get around it.
This is perfect. If I'm going to ask you a final question before I close this out tonight. If a child believes that they're broken for long enough, if nothing's done to kind of help them through this process, what does that turn into as an adult?
One of two things generally happens. It's like a dumbbell. One is they're completely shattered as a person, and you're way too young to worry about this as a mom.
Yeah.
But I want you to imagine things in the distant future where your kid has this failure to launch.
Yeah.
Okay? Imagine them 30 and still in your basement.
Yeah.
Okay? That's one thing that happens. Or we become as the most motivated people you'll ever see. What I try to do, especially, is take that first group and say, here's how we fix this. Get them back into school where they're doing decently, then understand you're going to have two options going forward. They're going to go to a community college and get a head and hands type job, an electrician, auto mechanics, that sort of thing, advanced manufacturing, or they're going to go and do the traditional college route, at which case, they're going to means they're going to go on and do at least, most likely finish a master's degree because the bachelor's isn't cutting it anymore. For the advanced ones, I say we have to take you through the entire craft of research like we're doing with Grayson, and then they'll be fine. Otherwise, we just go through the context, show them how to do advanced body paragraphs, and then they can go through a community college and probably do even better.
Yeah.
As some commentators are saying, the quickest way to a six-figure salary now is going through and getting that 2-year degree and becoming an electrician or a plumber or something along those lines.
Yeah. That makes sense. This was amazing. I love the work that you're doing, and this is the part of the show where I get to highlight what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand dyslexia or that you have a great way of explaining it and making it relatable in a way that it's got to be tough. It's a tough struggle, but it's that you're giving these families hope where most people are just telling them to hurry up and wait. You're not telling them to wait. You are showing them exactly what to do. And for a parent watching their child struggle, I feel like that's everything. This is such an important time in their lives in growth mentally and emotionally. And to have this on top of just normal life, I just feel like everybody needs a lot of that grace around the table. And I think it's incredible what you're doing. You are changing how these kids will see themselves. You are changing the outlook of their future before the world is going to convince them of what they can't do. And I think that makes you incredibly special. To everyone listening, whether it's your child or maybe it's you, okay? You're not behind. You've just been taught in a way that did not work for you. God doesn't make mistakes. There is a way forward. You just have to be willing to look for it and to take action, to be contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. And please remember, you guys, your mess is your message. The struggles, the frustration, the things that don't make sense, that might be the very thing that you're meant to help someone else through. That is our potential. That is our calling, to turn around and help other people. If you have a story or something you've learned the hard way, you should be using your voice, okay? Use your voice. Don't just sit on that. And this episode, I need you to subscribe and share it, okay? We need to get Russell's work out there. And you know, people that we will never reach without your help. So I'm asking you to share this and share his journey. Make sure you get resourced if it is you that could benefit from what he's doing in this moment. There's a link in the show notes. You guys get on that. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And if you're ready for the hot seat, you guys come tell me why you're special. Russell, you're amazing. I see why you're at the top of the list for interviews, and I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.